Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf mem. We're starting on the last line of Lamed Tes Amid Beis, where the Gemara begins, Omer of Yosef. You'll recall, Rabbi, we spoke yesterday about cholut. Cholut means pouring scalding hot water on top of chitim, on top of the grain, that normally retards the leavening or the rising of the chametz so that it stays put and does not become chametz. That's what we had right after the Mishnah. If you go back again, right after the Mishnah, Tanurban, Eilu Dvarim She'ein Bo Lidei Chimutz, Ha'Ofim V'Mushal V'Cholut She'Cholte B'Roischem, that you pour the hot, scalding hot water on it, and in such a case, it does not become chametz.
It's a form of freeze drying.
Amr of Yosef, leilich leit inish. Last line onto the top of Mem Amid Aleph. Gesundheit. Amr of Yosef, leilich leit inish. Trei chiti bahadi hadodi. Yes, Rav Yosef says the Brice, of course, is correct. When you pour the scalding hot water on the grain, it retards it from leavening and from rising. However, don't put two kernels of grain together at the same time when you're pouring the hot water on it. Why? What may happen is, as you're pouring the hot water, the two kernels, one may fall on top of the other. The tziraya means a cleft or a crack in the kernel. The chitim, I was expecting Brother Shai to bring an example this morning to show we want a specimen, but unfortunately he did not. So the specimen of the kernel of wheat is, you would see that has little cracks, little clefts in it. And what may happen is that the second kernel may decide to go and use the first kernel as a bit of a pillow to go and lie its head on that second kernel. And guess what happens? What happens is when you're pouring the hot water, it doesn't get to arba ruchsa, all four sides of that kernel of wheat, because it's partially covered over by the other kernel. So therefore, don't go and pour the scalding hot water on two at the same time. Again, Amr of Yosel Hilichlet Inish Trei Chita Bari Adori, don't pour it on two chitim together. Dilma Azla Chada, maybe one of the two. Yasu Betzirai, the Chavetz is going to go and set itself into the cleft of the second one, and then the hot, boiling hot water is not going to reach me'av ruchsa, all four ruchais, all four sides, and therefore it might come to chametz after all. Similarly, Omer Abaya, that was Rav Yosef, yes, but Rav Yosef said, and similarly says Abaya, the Omer Abaya lelichrech inish trei shibuli bari adodi. If you have two kernels, two stalks of wheat, don't go and singe them together, one, both at the same time. What are we talking about singeing? Zuntai. Singeing means that you have over here two moist kernels, and you want to singe them so that they should now dry out to be able to go and grind them and make them into flour. Don't go and singe the two at the same time. Why? Because as you are singeing them, the heat is going to cause some of the moisture that is in the two sheboilis and in these two stalks to start flowing. What may happen is that some of the grain juice, the grain water, whatever is ingrained in the grain itself, whatever that moisture is, some of that moisture may flow from Sheboilis 1, from stalk 1 onto Sheboilis 2. And guess what? That second one, as a result of that additional water, might come the dechimut, might become leavened, and might become chametz. Amalei Rabbis, the Rabbis said, Yihach yafil chadanami domo nafik mehai reisha obala idach reisha. Rabbis respectfully disagrees with Abai and says, according to your svara, that you're worried about the flowing liquid that comes out of the singeing or the toasting grains, you know what might happen? Even if you only had one, if that is really moist, then some of the moisture at the top might flow down to the bottom, and therefore the bottom of that stalk is going to go and absorb that same water, that same liquid. And therefore the same shayla that you're talking about by having two being singed together. Yeah, even the same shayla, even if you only had one being singed on its own. And therefore, Elam Arava may pay this. Nenu, all the water that you're talking about is not really water, it's grain juice, juice coming out of the grain, which is now being roasted, toasted. May pay this in machmitz, may pay this in nishmachmitz, nishka shayla, nishka problem, you don't have to worry about it. The odd be Abaye, and then ultimately Abaye changed his mind. He didn't change his mind fully, but only partially. He still holds that mayperis are machmitzim. However, he holds that if you keep the two together, you don't have the problem of the juice going from one to the other under certain circumstances, as we will see. The odd be Abaye, mehi Abaye changed his mind. The chol agav midlayu. The word malayu is like mizlayu. As long as it's flowing, loy mechamtzi, it will not cause chimut. The Amar Abaye, hay chatzva the avishna. Chatzva is a kriegel. It's a jug or it's a container. The avishna that has in it these types of kernels of wheat which are being singed to get the moisture out. So now to make sure that that moisture does not go and penetrate either itself or the next one next to it, what you should do is schifa shari, go and turn it upside down. In other words, this container which is holding the wheat, turn it upside down. What will that help? Because as the moisture is going to drip down, it'll drip out of the container onto the floor or onto the fire, depending what the circumstances are. But schifa, but if the jug, the container, is right side up, what will happen as a result of the singeing is that the juices will flow out of the grain to the bottom of the kli. They're going to stop at the bottom because it's right side up. And then the bottoms of each one of these kernels, guess what? One of these stalks, they can all absorb that juice that falls to the bottom of the container. Therefore, it's awesome. So therefore, Abaye changed a little bit of tzak, not total. Abaye didn't say, like he said before, you can go and singe two together at the same time, but make sure you do it in an upside down container, not a right side up container, because the flowing juice on its own, I'm not worried about. The one is going to, in a sense, contaminate or be machmitz the other. But I am concerned that if they go and get together, gather in the bottom of the kli, that will be absorbed by the bottom of these stalks, theoretically even the same stalk, like Rav has said before, and therefore that would be prohibited.
I understand whether why it's set up upside down.
It'll drain down.
Water.
They have to be holes or something.
The liquid will drain out before it gets absorbed. But it won't fall. You have like a net there, so that the grains don't fall into the fire or whatever, fall out. But it'll catch it. But the liquid can drip through.
Yeah, they have to be holes or something, because otherwise, as you're right, it would have to be a nest that they stay there in midair and they don't fall down onto the ground.
So Abai does not hold of Rava that may peros.
And in fact, continuing on, Rava Amar Afilu Zekifa Nami Shari. Even if it's standing right side up, it's not a problem, because whatever water goes and accumulates at the bottom of the kli, may peiris ninu, or may peiris ena machmitz. So you see, Rava continues to hold his same shita as before. Abaye has modified his shita somewhat, but he hasn't come on this side of Rava, because he still holds that may peiris are machmitz. He just says, make sure that the kli is upside down, and then you're okay. Even though one might spritz on the other. Remember, Abaye's concern, the outset was, Lelichrach Inish, Ilmanafki Mai Mehai, water is going to be emitted by the one on the right, and then it's going to spritz on the one on the left. So Abaye is no longer concerned. As long as it's flowing, even it's spritzing and flowing and coming out, that's not a problem. The problem is only the accumulation at the bottom of the kli. So I have an answer. Turn the kli upside down. But as Mendy says, be careful that it shouldn't all fall out. So as Barry says, it's a netting or holes or something on the bottom to hold up the kernels, the stalks of wheat, just to make sure, but the water nevertheless drains out. Tana Rabban, ein loisisin sa'in b'pesach. Now we had this lasisa already a few days ago. Lasisa means that you have the raw grain to be able to remove the chaff and the bran more easily. They used to go and soak them in water. After you soak in the water, it's much easier to go and pull apart and remove the chaff and the bran and stuff like that. And then you will be left with solus nekia. It's really going to be nice and beautiful flour. It's done about ein loisis in tzoyin bepesach. You now let it go and be loisis tzoyin, which is barley. We're going to talk about chitim in another few lines, but in the meantime, we're talking about the barley. Don't do it before Pesach. Then lisis, and if you did it, now what's the problem? Of course, of the lisisa. If you're taking the grains of barley and you're soaking them in water to remove the chaff, a lot of that water might penetrate and might be absorbed into the barley itself, and could be, it will be maybe lidei chimut, it will cause it to leaven, to rise. Then Lee says, but b'dieved, if you did it, now take a look clearly at the grain. Nisbaku, if you find that it starts having now clefts and cracks in it, as we'll see in the Gemara a little bit later, so'idim typically grow. The Gemara calls it shi'i. Shi'i means that they're totally glatt, totally smooth. There are no cracks, no clefts in the soyim, as opposed to the chitim, where we said at the top of the Amid that they have tziraya, that they do have clefts and cracks. No such thing in soyim. They are nice and pure and smooth. So now, if you let it, left it long enough soaking, eventually nisbaku, if those kernels start now opening up and breaking up, asurus, then it's awesome, because it shows that the water has really penetrated, been absorbed, and it's now being barley de chimut. Loi nisbaku, however, if it remains intact, in other words, you didn't let it soak that long, then mutar is, then it's okay, then it's mutter. Rabbi Yossi says, Icham nochan aitza. What's nochan aitza? Shoiran bechoimet. What you can do is, when you see that the so'irim are starting to become nisbaku, quickly throw them into choymitz, into essig, vinegar, and let them soak in the vinegar, and the choymitz has the reverse effect. It causes them to shrink and to stay in, and not to be nisbaku, and not to go and split open.
Is there an irreversible point where this...
Once it's nisbaku, it's already too late. Before it's nisbaku, then you can do it, so then it will stay shut. If you look at Rashi, Shoyim B'choymet, Imroi Shenoiv Chos, if he sees, it looks like it's starting to swell, Shoyim B'choymet, Shnell, put it into the choymet before it's too late, before it has a chance to crack. Amar Shmuel, in a look at Rabbi Yossi, we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. In other words, if it's nisbaku, Oslein, nisbaku, Mutter, and there's no Eitzah with the choymet, with the Esek. Amar Chizda, Amar Marukva, nisbaku, Mamish, even though we use the term over here, nisbaku, Asurais, even pre-nisbaku, it's Asur. That also has the same status in nisbaku. What does that mean? What it means is, what happens if we already have the 95% level, that it's going to be nisbakeya in another 5%. Leave it there in the water for another 10 minutes, for another half an hour, and it's going to be nisbaku. So, what did the Braisa say? Shnell, take it out of the water. Don't allow it to become nisbaku. Don't allow it to go and crack and to open up. So, nisbaku mutaris. Says Rav Chisda, in the name of Mar Ukva, no, even if it hasn't opened up yet, but it's going to open up in another few minutes, that's also already considered to be nisbaku, and it's already asuris. How do you go and test something like that, or what is the time interval? If you were to go and put these swelling kernels of grain on top of the opening of a chavius of yayin, a cask of wine, the nisbakus milayin, and if they would now open up already on their own as a result of the reyach hayayin, the reyach hayayin is so strong that it would finish off the nisbakeya process and cause it to open, says Rav Chizam Rav Ukva, even if you didn't put it on top of the chavis. The point is, if it's already at that 95% level, I say 95%, an arbitrary number, 90% level, that had you put it on top of a chavis yayin, it would now be nisbakeya, it's already nisbaku, and it's already awesome. I disagree. It's got to be that it's really cracked. The fact that it's about to crack, almost, there's no virtual din over here. It's got to be real nisbaku. And in fact, Yomar tells us of Shmuel of the Bedura de Bei Bar Choshu. Shmuel was in the town where Bar Choshu lived, and that was his town, says Rashi. And there was a Shai Lataka about Lasisa by Sa'irim, and he passed in nisbaku mamish. Not a question of almost nisbaku, but it's got to be really cracked. And then I say that it's also Mishum Chimet. Omer Rabba. Bal nefesh lo yiltzeis. Bal nefesh means a person who's really erlechid, a person who's really concerned, he's a machmir, he's a chosid, he wants to be a tzaddik. Lo yiltzeis, he shouldn't do lesisa, this type of lesisa of soaking the grain. We just finished the Braisa. The Braisa said, you're telling me only the Bal Nefesh, the Machmirim. Everybody, it's for the rank and file of Klal Yisrael. This is not just for the Machmirim. Every Mahalki Kama Bal Nefesh Afilu Chitin the Shriri Lo Yil says, that's what he means with this Bal Nefesh. The Braisa was only talking about Tzoyrim, about barley. Barley have somewhat of a weak consistency to them, and so therefore if you go and put them in soaking water, shortly thereafter you'll see that it'll become this baku because it's weak. Chitim, however, are hard as a rock, or at least hard as a chita, and therefore you can leave them in the water for a much more substantial period of time, and they won't be nispaku yet because of their more solid consistency.
They already have clefts. It seems.
If you bear with me for a moment, the Gemara is going to raise that. Okay, one at a time. See, Gemara says, "Bal nefesh afil chitim nishriy lo yil tzeis." Even if they happen to be, even chitim, one should be machmir if you're bal nefesh nishriy because they are hard. Meaning, a regular individual, since they're so hard, he doesn't have to be that careful. Mi ikar hadin, you're allowed to be loises chitim, but not tzeidim, because chitim are hard. However, person's a bal nefesh, a bal nefesh, a machmir, a chosid, says Rashi, he should not even go and put in the chitim, lo yotzis. Omer Rav Nachman, man the tzayis levi abba ochel nehama di busha. Rav Nachman respectfully disagreed with what Rabba just said. He refers to him as Abba, but it means Rabba. And what did he say? He said, don't do like Rabba said, that a chosid should be careful not to go and soak the chitim. Why? Because the person who does that, he's going to be eating nama di ipusha. Literally, nama di ipusha means fafoilt. That means bread that has spoiled. However, we don't really mean that it's spoiled. There's no problem of spoilage over here. What he means to say is, if you're going to firzach like Rabba, and you're not going to be loises the chitim are going to look black and dark and not pleasant, not appetizing, because you won't have soulless nikia. And therefore, says Rav Nachman, we disagree, even a bal nefesh can go and soak the chitim. By Rav Huna, and they were loises in his house. Ubei Rav Baravin, all to lossesi, the same thing. V'Rav Omar, Osir Liltzais. Now remember that Rav says Osir Liltzais because we're going to find that Rav is going to change his position twice in our Gemara, from Osir to Mutter, and from Mutter to Mitzvah, as we'll see shortly. So Rav Amar Osir Liltzais, you're not allowed to be loisis, and therefore he was following the footsteps of Rav. I pray to my Lord, the Sanya, in loisin tzoyin bePesach. It's mashus oyrin hu deloy. Hachiti shor is mashus chitim is permissible. Why did Rava ask? It doesn't say Rava just asked for himself. Apparently he gave out a psak for the whole mechoyza, for all of his talmidim and all of the people in the city, that it's awesome. Why? Only so oyrin are awesome. Avrit Rava, no, you're learning the braisa incorrectly. Until now we assume that Soyrim, because they happen to be of a softer nature, they are more absorbent, and there you got to be really, everybody's got to be machmer, don't be loises. But chitim are much harder. Nishkefele, only the chassidim are going to be makbid. That's the way we learned until now. Rav is learning it punkfaket, just the opposite. So to you, Mara, that's what it says in the braisa. Ein loises sin, soyrim hu deloy. Ha-chitishari, no, that's not the pshat. Let me buy your comments, just the other way around. Since chitim have a cleft, then aylo b'humay. Does this sound familiar to you?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You described it very vividly, that's why I was puzzled.
I understand, and that's why the Gemara is addressing it. Since the chitim have a cleft to them, then you don't have to wait until misbaku, because by nature they are misbaku, meaning that they're born with clefts. They're created by Kodesh Baruch Hu with clefts. It's Aylu B'maya, so the water goes in very quickly. So then a lisis, of course, is going to be awesome. 1, 2, 3. Avasari, the sheep. When you're talking about Tzoyrim barley, which is nice and smooth. Hey, Mishabatami, I would say it's fine. Don't worry about it, because there's no entrance way for the water to get in. Kamash Mulan, that's why the Bryce says to tell you, no, be careful, because once it's mispakeya, the wood is getting in, it's going to be chumet, it's going to be tzuris. So that's how Rav's pshat was, Rav's position was initially. Osir Lilzois. Hoda Omer Rava, but in later years or later months, it doesn't say how much later, but later times, Rava changed his mind and he said, Mutal Lilzois, you are allowed to be loises after all. How do I know? Tesanya, we learned in the price, so we had this price ready before. Yoitzim a pastakiyah bahadra. For Pesach, for the matzis at Seder night, you can use either pastakiyah. Pastakiyah means pas, which is made out of soulless nikiyah, nice and white and bright and cleansed kemach, soulless, which is nice and fine flour. Vahadra, and you can also use dark matzis. Dark matzis means that the bran is still inside it. It wasn't taken out, and therefore it looks darker than the pas nikiyah. Says now Rava, how can you go and use pas nikiyah? Pas nikiyah by definition means that you took out the impurities. The efshe nikiyah below the sisa. By definition, lesisa equals pas nikiyah. Pas nikiyah equals lesisa. If the braisa says that you can use pas nikiyah, that means that it's mutter. Otherwise, how could you make solus and noki for the Seder night? Is a chasimin that it's mutter after all. So Rapapa asks him, Eisver Rapapa L'Rabba, you're telling me that the definite that Lesisa and Pas Nikiyah, Solus Nikiyah, these are basically synonymous. Because as a result of doing Lesisa, you're going to have Pas Nikiyah. I'm going to show you that it's not so simple. What's not so simple? We have a braisa. Hakimachim. Kamachim is kemach, which is regular flour. Vasilosis means nice and white and pure flour. In other words, it's a higher degree of flour. Shel nochem, that belongs to goyim. Shel kfarim, from the shtetlach, from the towns, to hoyrim. They are tahar. Now, we're not talking about hilchais Pesach now. We're talking about hilchais tumah v'tahara. That those are tahar. V'shel krachim, but from the cities, tamayim, they are tamei. Now, what's the difference between whether the origin of the flour is from a shtetl or from the cities? L'chayah, they should both be tahar, both be tamei. What's the nafkin? A manishtana? So the answer is, explains Rashi, because as we have learned many, many times in the past, as we'll learn many, many times in the future, for food items to become tamei, they have to be mukshul kabel tamei. And for it to be mukshul kabel tamei, you have to have one of the seven mashkoyes yachachadam. He means the six besides water, seven altogether. If any one of those seven falls onto the machel, right? Am I right? Falls onto the machel, by definition, it becomes mukshul. In the kvarim and the shteitlach, people were not so fancy schmancy. They weren't so grace of knackers. And so therefore, if there was some chaff and some bran, it's all sikit. And therefore, they were not makbid on the sisa. But in the krachen and the city, everybody agrees a knacker. Everybody wants to be the president. Everybody wants to do that. Anyway, so the bottom line is, they in fact did the sisa. They went and cleansed all of the grain to take off the bran, to take off the chaff. It should really, really be beautiful. So zok di gemara, the kfarim my taima, what's the reason why kfarim it's tahor? La mishim de loy vasasi. Like we just said, because they did not do this pre-cleaning and cleansing and soaking to get off the chaff and the bran. And guess what? Look at the Lashon HaBraisa. HaKemachim v'haslosois, the regular kemach, the regular flour. Then the soil is the special, the white, beautiful flour. Shel nochrim shel kfarim. Tahoyrim. You're calling the flour from the kfarim tohar. You see that there was no lesisa done, and nevertheless it's referring to it as soilus. So you, Rava, that equated the lesisa process to a final product of soilus noki, soilus nikia. You see, it's not true. Because it says, Slotishal kvarim atahar. It's Torah that means that you didn't do the lesisa, and yet it's soilus. So you see that you can have soilus even without the lesisa. So don't bring me a raya rubber from the Brisa that says that you can be yoitz and matzah smitzah with pas nikia. His rubber says, must be lesisa, otherwise it wouldn't be pas nikia. So I have soilus nikia in the kvarim, and there was no lesisa done, and that's why it's tohar. Because you can go and say it's letzedodim kitani, meaning that although the brayse begins at kemach matzlosis, what he's really referring to is the kemach of nochrim of kforim atohar, and the solus of the krachim are tamei. So in other words, each one respectively. It's not kemach matzlosis of kforim and kemach matzlosis of the krachim, but we mean to say of these two types of kemach, the inferior type and the superior type, the one that you would have in the kfarim would be the inferior one. That would be the kamachim. That would be tar. The superior one, that would be the one that you would get in the krachim, and those are tali. Because here you have lasisa, and there you didn't have lasisa. So, and for the kash. Basid the Nafik, after Rava left the room, then Rapapa said to himself, I should have asked a better kasha from the following memra. When it comes to chitim shemonachas, they did not do lasisa. We had this gemara also a little bit earlier, because typically the chitim, the lisha was done in the Beis HaMikdash. However, the chitim was done by the original owner who brought the chitim to the Beis HaMikdash. So we told everybody, in lisha on some, don't do the lisha. And the kakori lahu soilus. Among the reason why by chitim shel menachas is because if you do the lisisa, I'm afraid it's going to be machmet. And we know kol hamenachas bo'ez matzah, with the exception of the shtei lechem and the ten lachmei toyer. But otherwise, everything was matzah. And the toyer itself talks about the mincha that you should go and bring soilus. The toyer refers to it as soilus. It's soilus. How can it be soilus? Ain't lois and I said, you're not going to do the lisisa. So you see, you can have soilus even though there's no lisisa. And therefore, L'choir, I have a knockout, Kasha says, Shmuel on Rav. Not Shmuel. Rav Papa said against Rav. Hard on Rav. Subsequently, Rav came about and he said, Mitzvah Liltzai. So you see how it's progressed. Initially, he said, Oser. And then he says, Mutter. And now he says, it's a mitzvah. What's a mitzvah? Shemit says, the Pasuk, Shmartus a Matzois. You have to do special Shmira. That's why we call it Shmira Matzos. So Timora, Idaloi Deboi Lesisa Shimulamai. What type of Shmira are we talking about if it's not the Shmira that you would do normally by allowing these kernels of grain to go and have the soaking? So the Shmira means is, yes, you're allowed to do the Sisa, but be careful whilst you're doing it. Don't allow it to be Bali Dei Chimut. So do it for a short period of time. Make sure the water is cold or whatever to make sure that it doesn't become Chamut. It is the Haraya by the fact that the Torah gives a din of Shmira that the Sisa is Mutter. Frey Timura, why? Ushmaritim doesn't have to necessarily mean at the time of Lasisa. It could be later on. It could be earlier on. In other words, make sure that these kernels, these grains, do not get close to water. So who said the Bishas Lasisa? Maybe it's talking about Bishas Lisha. Lisha means when you're actually kneading it in the bakery or at home, when you're putting together your matzahs. Just make sure, don't let it sit around, but constantly do the lushing, do the kneading, and make sure it doesn't sit around even for a couple of seconds without somebody working with it and rubbing it and pounding it and rolling it and whatever, like they do in the bakeries. So now we're finishing off the Raya of Rav. Shmartes matzes. E loy deboy lasisa. If you don't need lasisa, shimon lamai. What would the shmira? E shimon the lisha. You're going to tell me the shmira during the time of lisha while the needing it. Shimon the lisha of shimon. That's not considered to be shimon. If you didn't do shmira before, that Shmira is gunished. Why? Dem Ravuna. Betzekish al-Nochram. Adam Mali Kreis Mehen Vavachi Yoichal Kazayis Matzah Ba'achroina. What happens if a goy happens to be a baker and he takes water and he mixes it together with flour and he makes a batzek? Batzek means he makes a batter, he makes a dough. And before he actually bakes it in the oven, he calls over his friend, the Yid, and he says, Yid, come over here. I have all of this batter. I know you guys are very busy before Pesach. You have to make matzahs. Take the batter, and I was very careful. I made sure to go and do it very quickly. 1, 2, 3. We're still within the 18-minute range. Go ahead. And Rashi says that he looked carefully at the batter to make sure that it didn't have what we call karni chagovim v'lechsiful panav. Those are simonim that we'll have later on in our Gemara, signs that the batter is already turning into chametz. So it looks really perfect, looks great. So those particular nachrim, the yid now takes over and does the rest of the baking. Now on Pesach night, you can go and fill yourself up with those matzahs. However, you cannot go and be yoitzah matzahs mitzvah because of the fact that it has to be l'shem matzahs mitzvah. And the goy doesn't know how to go and do the Shema Atzer Mitzvah.
So the Shema is from the kneading time, not from the baking time?
So that's what we're discussing. Everything has to be the Shema Atzer Mitzvah, even from the kneading time. Correct. To make sure that you can go and the whole meal can be those goyish matzah, so to speak, but make sure at the end of the meal, when it comes for the time of afikoyman, then you eat the yiddish matzahs where they say the chain matzah mitzvah and everything was fine. If you go to the bakeries today, again the shmur matzah bakers, you'll hear them whilst they're kneading or whilst they're rolling the dough, everybody calls out at one time the chain matzah mitzvah even before they go into the oven. So only b'achrayin, you can only eat it at the end, meaning you can eat the kosher shmirah matzahs at the end for afikoyman in b'rishayin alayim, but not at the beginning of the Suda.
Why not?
I'm sorry?
Achilas matzah. Achilas matzah is earlier.
Right.
Afikoyman is at the end, that's the Machon Korban Pesach, the mitzvah achilas matzah.
So maybe Taka, they made the broch al achilas matzah at this point. I don't know for achilas matzah. You're asking a good point. It may be that you made hamoitzi on the other, the Ptzeker Shel Nochrim. You only made the al mitzvah matzah, al achilas matzah, that is, only when you started eating the bachreina, the kosher matzahs. The kosher, not the others, the non-kosher. But you understand. The
Ptzeker Shel Nochrim.
The Yiddish matzahs.
Why is it sound like there's like a different bracha? Matzahs, the bracha is the bracha.
One's a bracha of hana, one's a bracha of on the mitzvah.
Yeah.
Well, you're the Seder night. You're sitting down.
We're sitting down to eat at the Seder night. We're all wearing our white kippah.
Because whenever you make eat matzah or challah, you make a hamotzi.
Yeah.
Okay, that's achilas. But the mitzvah asher kishanu is a bracha on the mitzvah of eating matzah. They're two separate brachos because they're two separate qualities.
And the mitzvah of eating matzah is so special that when the matzah is being kneaded and rolled and baked, you have to at that time say l'shem matzahs mitzvah. I'm making these matzahs specially for Pesach night. When the goy does the kneading, he is not able to go and say, even if he speaks Hebrew. However, his l'shem matzahs mitzvah doesn't have any validity or any efficacy, and therefore you have to have a Jew that is there monitoring, saying, declaring, these are going to be for Seder night.
So what is the Asher Kishon part of it? That's the Hanah?
Moslech Ben Aris is you make on every matzah or challah, and it's a bracha on Hanah, right?
Like throughout the year, you make a shahakal, you make a bar priyat. These are Hanah. Hanah means to have the pleasure of the food.
The pleasure, the benefit, the pleasure, the nourishment, the minerals, the whole nine yards.
No problem. So, getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara says that when you start eating the Ptzeker Shel Nochrim, that's okay, they're kosher, you don't have to worry about it. It's just like even today, if you go and buy commercial matzahs in the street, in the supermarket, made by Manischewitz or Stripes or whatever, unless it says on it Shmira matzahs, then they're kosher matzahs. You can eat it the entire, if you rely on the Ashkocha, you can eat it the entire Yontif. I know many people are makbid on Shmira matzah, the whole Yontif, and we're not going to go into that parsha. The point is, if it's not Shmira matzah, you can eat it the whole Yontif, but you're not going to be yoitza with it on Seder night. If you have Seder night, you have the matzahs that you buy in the stores, the regular matzahs, you're not yoitz. You can eat them, no problem. To be yoitz, the mitzvah of the Shem matzahs, mitzvah of Seder night, then you have to have the special Shmira matzahs. And therefore, says the Gemara, that the Ptzeker Shel Nochrim, you can eat as much as you want. But now, if you want to yoitz the din of achilas matzah, mit yafakoyman, like Brother Shai was telling us, so then, that make sure to eat matzah b'chrein, and make sure you eat the bona fide, real McCoy Yiddish matzahs, where there was the Shem matzahs mitzvah. So b'chrein eat b'shein alay. So what do I see from that, says Rav? My time, Mishnah Gulei Ovad, Bahu Shimur. It's because there was no Shmir at the time of the kneading, because it was the Goyim doing it on their own. There was no Mashgiach, and they didn't do Shmir. Then the Goy, with the Sfertai, the Goy from the Shmir. And therefore, what do I see from that? That there is no Shmir at the time of Lisha. And that's why Rava says there has to be Shmira from the time of Lasisa from the time that it was soaking in the water. You're going to say, let's go and do Shmira now from the time of Afia, from the baking and further. You can sit over here. No, there's plenty of room here. That's why we have another seat here. This is a seat for the aristocracy, for the Chushim people, from the Krach, not from the Kvar. Anyway. We don't need a chair. No, it's off. It's taken off. It's all here. Come. Mm-hmm. Brother. Mm-hmm. Raful Aaron. Continuing on. Zukti Yamara. Let's go and do Shmira after the baking. Now, the word after the baking is misleading. Because if it's already baked, how can you go and do Shmira now? That doesn't make any sense. What Rashi says, Me'afir Ve'ilach means from the moment when the kneading is over, and now you're preparing to put into the oven. And that's when you do Aricha. Aricha means that you go and form it nicely, and you smooth it. Today, for instance, in the matzah bakeries, they have someone that goes and perforates all the matzahs with holes. Otherwise, the matzahs would all
rise up.
Would rise up. It would really rise up.
They're bubbling.
It would bubble, and it would rise up and make it. Exactly. Anyway, so that's what we mean. We say the word afia, we really mean the aricha and the kituf. That means the forming, the final formulation of the matzahs and putting them into the oven. Ah, says look, you will have a male fear of eilach. Why can't you do shmir from that? So you see, that doesn't work. The shmira that you do at the time of the afia, the shem matzah mitzvah, and the ganzavan, that doesn't help. It's got to be shmira from before. Ah, so when is it before? Must be from the time of lesisa. What does Gemara mean to say?
Yeah.
What Rava was saying was, remember, what's Rava's right? Rava is saying you have to have Shmira Mishas L'sisa. Is the chasimin that it's a mitzvah to be loiseis? Because it's a mitzvah at that time to say everybody, Rabboisai, be careful! L'shem matzah's mitzvah, these are holy matzah, we're going to use in the Seder night, make sure it doesn't get chometz, be very, very careful. What's the rai that that's the time of Shimur? Because you're going to tell me, maybe Shimur is the time of Lisha. No, that cannot be. Because I see over here, Matzekesh on Nachrim, that once they've finished bringing in the batter, and now we scream out, the Shari Matzah's mitzvah, the time of the Afia, the time of the Arich and the Kituf, when we're forming the matzah to put them in the oven, you're telling me that that Shimur is worthless. The reason why it's worthless is, how do I know it's worthless? Because it says, you're not yoitza with those matzahs for matzahs mitzvah. So it's got to be that the shmira has to be earlier on. So when is early in the process? Says the Gemara, during the lesisa period. That's what Rava said. So the Gemara, no. There are really three stages over here. You have the lesisa, then you have the lisha, and they have the afia. Rather, don't jump to conclusions and say, since Shmira Shas Afia doesn't work, so it must be all the way earlier on at the time of the season. No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What's
baking.
Really and truly, maybe you can do Shmira at the time of the Lisha. Mm-hmm. The problem over here was at the time of the Lisha, the time of the kneading, it was all done by Nachrim, not by Yidin, and that's why you couldn't have the proper Shmira then. But if you did the Shmira, then that's enough. You don't have to go back in time to the time of the lesisa, the soaking. It's enough to do it at the time of the kneading. And that's what Gemara says. Umimai. What's the Rai of Rava? Dil Mishani Hossam. The reason why we say that those B'tzekish Shel Nachrim, you cannot be Yoitzei, the mitzvah of matzah on Seder night, is the B'idna D'Nachas L'Shimur, at the time that you started the Shmira, Le'ovah Do Shimur. Means that the time that you should have, could have, would have done the Shmira, which means at the time of Lisha of the kneading, you didn't do that because it was B'tzei Shel Nachar. If, however, at the time when Shmira really begins, not at Lisisa time, at Lisha time, if you would have done the Shmira, if Ovid Lo Shimur, how can I have the Shimur Lisha of the Shimur? That would have been sufficient. Then you'd be able to go and say, Alachines Matzah, and Lishay Matzah's Mitzvah, and everything would have been perfect. And so therefore, says Imar, the Rava's Raya, that is a Mitzvah of Lesisa, is not a Shtarka Raya. Maybe the Mitzvah of Shimur only begins from the time of Lisha, from the kneading, and not from the soaking.
Is that conclusive?
I'm sorry, once again?
Is that like a Raya?
No, so he's saying, is Rava thought he had a conclusive Raya, and the Gemara says it's not conclusive.
But so I'm saying, Raya, is it conclusive?
We respectfully disagree.
Okay.
Even though the Raya wasn't a starka Raya, and Rava realized that we were able to be dochet to push off the Raya, nevertheless, Rava continued holding that it's a mitzvah. He said, the Omalahula, no, the Mahapchi Kipi. Now we're even going one step earlier than that, and that is that when we did the harvesting, the cutting of the grain, what do you do after you cut the grain? After you let it lie on the field for an hour or for a day or for a week or whatever? He told those people in Mahapchikipi. Mahapchikipi means those that are now turning over the grain to go and bundle them into bundles. Even then you should have in mind, we're doing in L'shem Matas Mitzvah. You're bundling them together. He holds from the very, very outset. And you just heard from Barry, that's the meaning today, and that's the halacha that you do Shmira Mishas Kitzira.
That's what a Mashkiach is for.
The Mashkiach, exactly, as everybody's coming.
We heard earlier in the parak that if you leave the grain growing too long and it gets... It gets too ripe.
He gets susceptible to becoming chametz. That's correct. Right.
So it's even in shazri, as it were.
Shazri.
It's not very ripe that way. You just have to cut it when it's ripe.
Otherwise, when you see that it's starting to get okay.
Everything else got to be dried.
The soaking. How they even have a show. Mock with it. No water should touch it. But yet, then we soak it
under supervision. So also, you need it under supervision. There's certain things you do. It's vulnerable to becoming chametz, but if you're careful, you're
soon going to be a chumran klal yisrael that at seder night one should eat the raw kemach, just the flour, and not because you put water and you made it into matzah. Putting water that's going to cause it to rise. It can come to leaven.
People won't revolt against that.
Why did they do solas for the minchas? They didn't soak it because they were afraid it was going to become lidei chimutz.
The Torah still calls it solas anyway. So that's why we brought a raya against Rabba that it can be solas even though you didn't do the
seichimutz. But we see that there's ways to have soaking without becoming.
So the Gemara said that the Lassisa was done by the individual before he came to the Bismidish.
So we had a few days ago.
Absolutely, theoretically you do. I mean, that's why Rabbi even said it's a mitzvah. Back on Lamed Vov Amid Aleph, we had this in the wide lines down below. When the Gemara said, Chitim Shomanachas Ein Loisin Isa, the Gemara says, Lisha Bezrizin Isa, Lesisa Lesa Bezrizin. And Rashi says, why is it not Bezrizin? Because this is done at home before the Zohar brought it to the Beis Hamikdash. Rashi said, Lesisa Leshoyin Bamayim Ma'at Lekoychon, Kadeshe Solson Nikir Chibi Noki, Lesisa Lesa Bezrizin, Kishamedia Hazar. Kvari soilus. The Zohar over here doesn't mean a non-koyin. It means that when the person comes from the outside into the Beis Hamikdash to go and bring the carbon, then nobody was watching the Lassisa until that point.
Interesting, the Zaras and Zoras.
Zaras and Zoras. Very good. Yes?
You could soak, yeah.
You're talking, according to Rabbi, is a mitzvah to soak.
That was Rabba.
Initially said, don't do it. Then I said, no, mutter, it's okay. And at the end he said, I'm mitzvah to go and do it. Okay, anyway, so the Gemara finishes off. Marbrit Ravina, Minakto, Leime Bi Arvi. What does that mean? So Rashi Taka says this inyan of Shmira Mishas Ktzira. The word Arvi over here means basins. Menachli Ime, the mother of this Chushim Yid, of Mar Bere Ravina, presumably the wife of Ravina, what she would do, what did she do? Says the top Rashi, Menachli Ime Chitin, Beskiles Kotzir, from the beginning of the harvest, she would go and put them into special basins, Letzerich HaPesach, the Abdul Hushima Meikara, the Shmira from the very outset. And that's what they do today. The matzah bakeries, they have special warehouses where right after Ksira, they ship it immediately to those warehouses and store them there, and they're locked solids, and the water should get close to them until shortly before Passover, and then of course they have to process it into flour, and then add the water and go and bake. Good. So that's Taka Shmira Mishas Ksira from the time of harvest. From that very moment, they are very careful. Next, Shikos. Zogim Urabait. This is all, of course, for Seder night. this is not required for throughout Pesach. You could have matzahs that were not shmir mishas ktsira, they're kosher, goyish matzahs if you want to call them that, but we're not talking about the ones with the lishma. Okay. By the way, there are, you can get commercially also boxes of the square matzahs, machine matzahs, where it says on it shmir matzahs, which shmir mishas ktsira. So the shmirah doesn't only have to be the round ones, you can also get the squares. Whether or not you should eat machine matzahs or not, that's already an alt machloik, as it goes back into the 1800s, whether that is really the shma or not. Big machloik.
Some say it's even better.
Some say it's better. So, well, yeah, this is, you know, we're not going to establish new minhagim today. This is an alt machloik from many, many years ago. Interesting, in my firm, for many years, I had the minig to before Pesach, I would go and give out matzahs to the Jewish lawyers at the firm. I would give out shmira matzahs, knowing that they don't have shmira matzahs. At most, they have matzahs that they would get in the store, and they wouldn't get shmira matzahs. And most of them didn't know exactly what it was. Some asked me whether my wife baked them, or why were they special, why were they round, and all that, etc. But there were a couple of people that knew what they were, and none of them called it shmura matzah, they all called it shmira matzah. So they...
shows you their childhood. That's how they heard it.
Exactly, that's how they heard shmira matzah.
They should come down here.
I even had a senior partner of mine that said that his uncle had a shmira matzah bakery in Antwerpen, before the war. He knew he had a shmira matzah bakery. This partner is very schwach in his Yiddishkeit.
Antwerp was a watch.
So who knows if he even has Jewish or Enoch Lacha children. Anyway, it is what it is. On to next Shikli Mar. Hahu Arva.
How do you explain that with the Kibbutz issue that you say more clearly says that there's no fia after Bishul?
Very good question.
There's no chamitza after
Bishul after fia. We missed you at the very tail end of yesterday's Gemara. But the last two lines of yesterday's Gemara were, Amamar Zutra le limchi inish kedeta the kimcha da vishna. Don't try to thicken the brew or the stew by pouring in some kemach of avishna. Avishna means that you toasted the kernels so that they should dry out. Don't put any thickener into the stew. Why dimalei bushel shapi? Because maybe those kernels that you roasted and toasted to draw out all the moisture, maybe you didn't do a good enough job. But even though you have the kimcha, you have the kemach, you have the flour looks great. However, you don't realize that some of that kemach, there might be some wet spots in it or places where it really wasn't fully, and therefore they are susceptible lidei chimutz. So that's the same sort of kibratz, that you have your matzahs, they look perfect, and the Gemara said ofoi, that if it's ofoi, shebishloi is fine. That's only if you know concretely and conclusively that the matzahs are 1000% gut oskebakken, really well baked. However, at times there are matzahs which are not so well baked. I've been in the bakery myself where the packer, that's the one that puts the matzahs into the packages, takes the matzahs and tries them, and sometimes he's able to bend the matzah into a U-shaped and it doesn't break. So of course he immediately throws that in another part.
It's too moist. It means it's not fully baked.
It's not, even though it looks fully baked, right. From the outside it's nice and brown, and the top and the bottom.
He knows from experience which ones to test. And
exactly. As soon as he sees it and he picks it up, he realizes, it looks a little...
It's most fun here.
So, exactly. So the point is...
That was talking about Kedera,
no, yeah, I understand, but we're trying to get the principle. The concept of the principle is that if you have those types of matzahs which are in fact not fully baked, and then you throw it into the machine and you make matzah meal out of it, and then you're going to go and add water and make these beautiful, delicious Pesach cakes. Unfortunately, some of that flour or some of that matzah meal may have not been fully baked, and it's still raw. And if it's still raw, then we're taking real kemach and we're mixing it with water.
So the brisa has to be understood as
ofoy hamavushal, ofoy shabishal,
that it's properly
1000% not medium rare type of baked. It's got to be
well done.
And since the chash may be exactly well done, okay. Zokti more right. Ahu arva the chiti. Now this arva is not the same as the previous arvi. That were basins. Here arva means a ship or a boat. The chiti of chitim that had in it a whole warehouse, a whole storage of chitim. The tava bechishta. Unfortunately, it was teveya, means that it sank, in Chishta. Chishta is the name of a river, in the famous Chishta River. And you can imagine when they brought the boat up with all of the chitim, everybody was tzechish and tzemisht. What should we do now with these chitim? So Shari Rabbi Lizvunei Lenochrim. Rabbi said you can go and sell it to Goyim, because after all, they don't have a din of Chametz or Pesach, so they can have it. Frankly, what do I have a problem? Maybe the Goyim that are going to buy it, they're going to be wholesalers, and they're going to go and sell it retail to Jews. And the Jews are going to say, hey, where did these Arbi come from? Where did these chitim come from? You don't know? This is from the famous Rabbi Goldsmith, who happens to be, everybody knows, we call the Groysa, El Chida, Tzadika, beard down to the ground, everybody knows, show up. So everybody's going to go and buy those chitim, and they're going to assume that it's kosher for Passover, not knowing that they soaked in the Chishta River for a while, and their Chas HaShalom going to become Chometz. And therefore, Frank, you want to Bar Livoy, well, what is this all about? If you have a beggar that by accident the sewer, the seamstress, went and had put in some, it was a linen beggar, and she put in some strands, some threads of wool, or vice versa, it was a wool beggar, and they put in some strands of linen, don't give it to a goy. Why can't you sell it to a goy? A goy doesn't have a problem of shatness. Problem is, because he sold it to the goy, he might afterwards lend it or send it or resell it to a yid. And everybody said, well, what's the origin of this? You don't know, this beggar comes from a Bianco Goldsmith. He's a tzaddik. Don't even use it for a saddle of a chamar. That saddle of a chamar is not like a saddle of a horse. It's not hard. It's more in a blanket form. And therefore, what people would do is, chamar doesn't need such a big blanket. I have a hole in my pants, and it's very embarrassing walking around with a hole like that. I'm just going to snip off a little piece of the medas. The chamar won't know the difference. They'll be, who knows the chamar? The chamar is a donkey. Let's switch to the donkey. So I'm going to take off a little piece, and I'll use it for a patch, not knowing that that patch has an impact potential of shatness. Ay, 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 ay. And so therefore, don't do it. What you can do is you can go and take this kalayim beged. You have a beged that unfortunately has kalayim in it. What can you do? You can use it for tachrichen, because once it's mizuman for tachrichen, then it becomes osir bano, and nobody's going to take patches from it, and nobody's going to use it because it's just for a mess. The whole thing is a pretty messy situation. Anyway, my time, why can't you go and sell it to the goy for a beged? Because he might resell it to a yid. So don't we have the same problem over here? If you're going to go and sell all of the chitim, the tovah b'chishta, to goyim, they might resell it to Jews, and they're going to use it on Pesach. And therefore, the Rabbi said, you know what? You have a good point. I changed my mind. Rabbi changed his mind already a few times on the Amid Aleph, and now on the Amid Beis. It shows that oidav leivosh is that when a Rav rethinks his thinking, then and his approach, he should not be embarrassed to go and change his plaque and say, "Rabbi, I change the plaque. We're going to do the following." Hodam Rav is binu kava li Yisrael keichad kal yekami pisra. You know what? Go and sell it in very small quantities to Yidden before Pesach. Such small quantities that you know for sure he's going to finish it before Pesach. So don't go and sell an average Jew 100 pounds of these chitim, because especially if it's only 2 weeks left before Yom Tov, he's not going to be able to finish it in time. But you can go and sell him 2 pounds or 3 pounds, whatever, that you can go and finish off in a week or two before Yom Tov is going to begin, so you don't have to worry of eating Chas HaShalom Chometz and Pesach. Tana Rabbanim, Ein Moilus HaKedera BePesach. Now this word moilin is like what we were just looking at a moment ago with Brother Shai's help about being limchi inish. Here moilin also means to use as a filler or as a thickener. You go and put into the kedera, you go and put in the flour. So ain moilin sakedera b'pesach. We have more chairs if you want. Okay. You're fine, but we feel upset that you're standing. We don't want you to stand on ceremony. We want you to go and join us. And I just want to point out,
I have a ceremony which I have to stand on.
Oh, that's good, that's good. But we have lots of cheers here because it's a very cheerful besmetch. Okay, anyway, continue on. Don't go and add to the stew by going and pouring in additional kemach into the stew on Pesach. Why? Because obviously we're concerned that that kemach is going to touch the mayim poshrim, the warm water, and certainly if it's hot water, and then it's going to rise and we're going to become chametz. That's going to be a problem. What happens if you dafka want to put in some kemach to thicken the brew, to thicken the stew or the soup, or whatever it is? What you should do is right after you put the kemach in, put the choymitz in. Choymitz again is the vinegar. Why should you go and put in vinegar? So we already learned already early on the Amid Aleph that Rabbi Yossi says that by putting it into choymitz, that it retards and inhibits the further leavening of the kemach. Remember, that's why we said if you did lefisa of the sa'odim and it wasn't nisbaku yet, Rabbi Yossi says, I have a remedy, put it shnell into choymitz, and that's going to cause it to shrink and to shrivel and not to go and blossom and to sweat.
If you put it into kadeira, though, once you put it into kadeira, it's not like you're taking kernels of grain.
Right, right.
Putting it directly into chometz.
Right, right.
Whereas each one is intact.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. When you're putting it into kadeira, it's all mixed. It's all mixed.
She's saying it's going to be a taruvus. It's not going to be the end.
Exactly.
So Gemara is going to ask that kasha shortly.
Okay.
Good. So that's the Gemara, a reis shimlo, put in the kemach first, and then put the chometz in second. By putting the chometz, that's going to inhibit it. The yesh omrim after the chometz back kach noisim the kemach. The yesh omrim is much more mekel and says you can put the chometz in first, even though that's fully diluted, if you will, before the putting the kemach in. As long as there's chometz within this brew, within this stew, it's going to cause the kemach to stew and not to rise. Who is the Yeshama who's so mekel? I'm Rav Chisda, Rabbi Yehuda. Ah, that's a famous Rabbi Yehuda. Not, we learned in the Mishnah. Oh, ilfis. We had ilfis a few days ago. That's a pot, a pan. Vakdeira, another type of pot. Shevira miroschen, or shevira mirusachen, if you remove them from the flame. Now we leave Hilchos Pesach for a moment, and we're going to now enter into Hilchos Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh. You have a ilfis or kdeira. You just removed it, let's say, from the blech, but it's still bubbling and kochin and going and simmering, and you see that it's really hot. Don't go put any tavlin. Tavlin are spices, because since you're putting it into a clear rishon, which is bubbling hot, then chalila you're going to go and cause a problem of bishul on Shabbos. But what you can do is, what you can do is, after you removed the contents from the clear rishon, and you put it into the kara, into the plate, into the dish that a person could eat from. Or the teicha tamchui, that's like a big serving dish that you put on those that have the tureen, yeah, for the fancy homes. Instead of going and pouring the soup in the kitchen and bringing it to the table already plated, they go and bring in this as a fancy schminty tureen, exactly. And so when you once you put in there, then you can go and add to the spice and the sugar and the spice and everything nice, because by that time it's already klisheini, and I'm not worried about that it's going to be mavash. You can take and put it into any type of kara or tamchoy kli sheni, like you just said. However, if it has in it choymitz is the essig, the vinegar that we're talking about, a tzir, or from fish yolk, brine, etc., that you cannot do. Now, why can you not do it? So Rashi says, because as a result of choymitz speeds up the cooking process, and therefore normally when you would go and put the spices into a plate, which is a klisheni, okay, since it's a klisheni, it's not mavashel. The choymitz intensifies the power of bishul, and even though regular soup in a klisheni is not mavashel, with the combination of the vinegar it becomes so potent it's mavashel even in a klisheni. And that's why it's osur and shabbos. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's the yesh omrim, that as long as the choymitz happens to be within the brew, within the stew, and you put in the kemach, the choymitz is going to cause the kemach to boil, to cook so quickly, it won't have a chance to boil the dechimitz, because it's going to speed up the process very considerably. So therefore, the Gemara says, that yesh omrim, that said, even if the choymitz is first, it's also okay, because as long as it's part of the stew, part of the brew, it has that quick bishul factor to it. So here too, 1 second please. Here too, says Rabbi Yehuda, you can go and put in the spice into a normal klisheni, but if there's already chometz in it from before, what do you mean the chometz from before? Chometz is only b'taruvus, it's only 1 out of 12 ingredients over there. Makes no difference. As long as there's chometz, that has the potency to go and cause the bishul 1, 2, 3. And that's why it would cause a bishul here in the case of Shabbos, and that's why it would inhibit the further leavening of the kemach, because the chometz speeds up the process 1, 2, 3. Yes, Barry?
No, you just answered my question.
I figured
here it's a chumrah, here it's a kula, here it's a...
chometz here, it creates a chumrah in Shabbos, but by Pesach, because it accelerates
exactly
the process, and it gets it past that window of vulnerability where it can become chometz.
Exactly right. Why do we have to go and say the Yeshimim goes according to this Mishnah? We had Rabbi Yossi reading in the Amud Aleph. Desanya, what did Rabbi Yossi say in the case of the Lesisas HaSa'oirin, that if you're soaking the Sa'oirin, Rabbi Yossi, Oimer, I have a remedy, Sha'oirin B'chometz, B'chometz Tzoimson. Oh, so that Rabbi Yossi already said you put it in chaymet. So well, everything more like Barry was saying 5 minutes ago. Kiyash min later Rabbi Yossi animil di isa be'ene. If it's on its own, avidei teruvis loy. If you pour it into the rest of the stew, it gets diluted and it's no longer so potent. That's what Rabbi Yossi holds. But the Yeshamim Rabbi Yehuda says, try it out. Rabbi Yossi, you have a right after the shear is over. Go home. Put together a brew mitasnu, add some chometz to it, then add tavlin and see whether or not the chometz got all teruvis all mixed in, and therefore it's no longer potent, or whether it retains its potency even after it's all mixed in. So that's a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Zokti Moravait, it's not a machlokes in mitzius. Avad, everybody agrees that the Metzias is that Choymetz, when it's Be'en, it's much more potent than if you go and mix it in and dilute it with everything else. The point is, after it's diluted, Rabbi Yossi says, at this point I'm no longer Choshed, or no longer Meikul, or Machmer, depending on what Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Pesach, it's already diluted. And Rabbi Yehuda said, nah, try it out, you'll see that the Choymetz is still potent, it can still do a trick, and therefore, be careful. Ula Omar, Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh Osur. Say if you put the chometz before, say you put the chometz later, say mit chometz, un chometz, don't put any thickener of kemach into your stew. Why not? Because you got to be careful after all. It's Pesach. That's a famous expression the Gemara brings many times, that you tell the Nazir, you got to be careful not to eat grapes and not to drink wine. Don't walk through the vineyard. What do you mean? Walk through the vineyard? I'm just walking through the vineyard. Oh, but you might go and see a nice grape, and then you're going to forget for a moment that you're a Nazir, and you make a Bayer Priyetz with Alakabon, Bayer Chatosh, Bayer Priyetz. Oh, what did I do? I'm a Nazir. So therefore we tell them, be careful, put up special guidelines and guideposts and precautions, etc. Put a fence around it. Oh, so leich, leich, amrin, nazir, we tell them, go in that direction. Schar, schar, kayarum in a room. Schar, schar means to go and make long circles and long detours. The karmelists to go, but don't even get close to the karen because I'm afraid what might happen. Same thing over here. You want to go and put kemach into your stew? Wait for shavuos. Don't do it Pesach time. Pesach time, it's problematic. Right, Rapapi Shorile Liburdiki, not to be confused with Dardiki. Burdiki, says Rashi, are bakers. Rapapi was matav the baker, the baker Shkalusa, Lemamcha Kedera Bechasisi, to go and pour into the Kedera into the stew. Some chasisi means Kimcha Dafshuna, which means Kemach, flour that resulted from the toasting of the moist grain, which the Gemara with the Torah calls the lechem, the koli v'charmel. It's called kloyos or koli. Means that you had the moist kernels, you toasted them in the oven, after that, or in the furnace, and after that you made them into kemach, into flour.
The matzah meal.
It's, well, yeah, but it's before, it was not baked yet, it was just toasted. It's still kemach form. Anyway, so Rapapi was matir to go and do that in the Beit Reish Galusa for the bakers to do that. Amarava. Avdi says Rav, I cannot believe it. Rav Papi gave out such a kula, such a heter. Memele, in all Jewish homes, all Jewish mamis, and in all the bakeries. Of course, everybody's so metactic. It comes Pesach and Chometz Shei. But here you're talking Medrash Kalusa. Medrash Kalusa, unfortunately, they were Avodim. And we have from many other Gemaras that the Avodim were kind of low lives, if you will, and they were not so careful about this, and they weren't so makbid. That, after all, they were the people that had all the power, and therefore, you're telling me what to do.
They're violent.
I'll tell you what to do.
They're violent people, too.
Exactly. So, therefore, in a place like that, you should never have been matir, and that's why Rava was critical of Rav Papi. Ikliyama, there's another version. The Rav Agufa Machila Kidra Bechasisi, that he himself would go and put the Chasisi in the Kedera, but obviously you gotta be careful. Now, whether this Ikliyamri argues with the first version is not clear in the Machloikas and Mefarsh. Some say that Rav is coming to argue and says, I and other Frumayin, we can do it, but if you have a Vodim around, no, you can't. Or the Ikliyamri is coming to say that even if they're abundant, you don't have to worry, because even I myself put the kemach into the kedera, and I'm not concerned. And if you don't have to be concerned with the abundant, it's fine. It's good. It's fine. So the machlok is exactly how to interpret this ikkadia.
Going back to our kabrux issue, you see here that they weren't kosher.
That's from the second, but from the first version, you see from Rava that they were very very careful. Rava, what in a place where people are not careful, you allow them to go and put the kedera? Chuliyah chashishom, stay away. Don't even talk to the reish kalusa for the next year, if you're going to allow for that type of thing. So you have the two academics. Okay, anyway. Everybody's crystal clear that Gebrot is not mitzad halach, it's mitzad chumra. It's a hidur mitzvah. And this hidur mitzvah has become a minig already over many generations, and this is many communities in Klai, so they would never even think of Gebrot. In other places, of course, they were more mekum. Anyway, on to the Mishnah. Now the charoisis over here is not talking about the charoisis that you have on Seder night, that you put it the karpas into the charoisis. And we're not talking about that type of charoisis. What we're talking about over here is that Rashi says charoisis is aigrus, which is some French term. V'yesh by choymitz, it has in it vinegar. We can't get away from the vinegar today. V'osui letavul by basar. This was a dip that people used to go and put in, like a ketchup, like a mustard. Or again, lastly, by chemical, they used to put chemical to thicken it up. It shouldn't just be, you know, tomato water, tomato juice, but it should be a tomato paste, like a ketchup, so it adds a little bit of chemical. So, what he's saying is, by putting the chemach in, then because of the acidity of this dip, it would cause the chemach perhaps to rise. So therefore, don't put any kemach into the charoisis, because this could be problematic.
Mekah, how do we translate the word mekah?
Mak is tam. It causes the tam to become, to have an acidity to it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, ain nois the kemach to charoisis, or the to chard. Chard, of course, is mustard. Vim nosen, and if you did it, yoichol miyad, eat it immediately. Meaning, don't allow the kemach to lie in the charoisis and the chard for more than a minute or two or three or five or ten, because if you let it stay there, then chas v'sholom, it could leaven, it could rise. So eat it quickly before it has a chance for that to happen. For a mayor, oyster, a mayor said, no, you cannot eat it because I'm already choshesh that already rose to the occasion. Now we're leaving chometz for a minute and matzis, and now we're talking about the carbon pesach. You cannot go and cook the carbon pesach. Now, why can't you cook the carbon pesach? Because it says in the pasuk, "Al toichlu mimenu na uvashel mevushel b'moyim ki im sliyesh." You have to roast the carbon pesach. You cannot boil it. But the pasuk says, "Uvashel mevushel b'moyim, in water." The chiddush of our Mishnah is that you cannot, not only can't you go and cook it in water, not with other types of liquids, even those that are not mayim. How do I know? Says Rashi Mitzvah, we'll learn that in tomorrow's blot on Daf Mem Aleph. So mayim is lav dafke, any type of mashke, any type of mayperis. Well, what you can do is sochem apilin oisabhen. What you can do is, as you are roasting the carbon pesach, you can baste it. Based, it means that you go and smear on it some other mashkais to make it more appetizing. Some kosher Pesach soy sauce or something like that. I don't know if there is kosher Pesach soy sauce, but today you can get kosher Pesach bread and pizza, so presumably you can get kosher Pesach soy sauce. Anyway, I was talking about being noisy, and that's okay. In other words, you're roasting it, but you want to smear it on top of that, that's
give
okay.
Give
it flavor. Yeah, exactly. Finally, the nachtoim, the baker, from time to time, after not only is he rolling the dough and kneading the dough, but he's also oirich umekatef as a matzah, which means that he has to go and use his hands to form the matzah and to go and cut it into size and to shape it and all the rest. Says the Gemara that the nachtoim should go and wash his hands from time to time, because otherwise the little bits of dough that are attaching to his fingers, to his fingernails, right, in between the fingers and on the nails, etc., etc., ultimately, if that's going to remain there for more than 18 minutes, it can come chum. And again, all the Shmir Matzah bakeries today, as soon as they finish 18 minutes, they say, okay, everybody stop, and everybody has to go to the sink and wash their hands very, very vigorously to make sure that they get out any possible speck of chametz and any batter or any dough, etc. Good. Back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Now, the beginning of the Mishnah, notice it said, don't put kemach into charoisis, don't put into chardel, but what happened if you did? Machlokes. Tanakama says, Yoichol Miyad. Rameyah says, oh, you said, no, it's already too late. The question of our Gemara is going to be: is this machloikis nosen yechum yad or oiser referring to both charoisis and chardot, which would seem to be the pashup shat in the Mishnah, yeah. Or maybe it's only going on the chardot, and therefore we have to do is we learn ein oiser kem lotoy charoisis full stop, and if you did it, finished, forget about it, burn it. Or if you bring the chardol, now we have a machloikis. But Tanakam said nosi yechum yad, remeir oiser. That's of course not the pashup shot, but that's what that's the way the Mishnah could be read, and as we'll see, that's how Rav Kahana reads it. Omer Rav Kahana, machloikis atoich achardol. This machloikis is whether you can quickly consume it or whether you have to burn it immediately. This is by the chardol. Atoich harois in the vekol yisar miyad. The harois is so strong and so potent that it causes an immediate leavening. After a minute, two, three, five, whatever it is, don't say yoichum miyat, it's already too late. Go and burn it, throw it out, get rid of it. V'tanim hochi avetak arai from a braisa, ein oisa kem l'toich acharoises, v'im nosan yisorav miyat. But what about l'toich achardu? Oh, meir oime, yisorav miyat, v'chom oime yoichum miyat. So you have a braisa beferish like Rav Kahana, that by charoises is no machloikis, machloikis is only by chag.
But that O becomes a problem then. Why is that O there? Because it seems to give the impression it's like we originally learned it.
And that's why when we pronounce, we don't say O, we say Oi. Oi, vai. How do you understand the Mishnah? Tak Oi. How do you. Tak Shver. Shver.
I thought we're not going to use hard altogether on Pesach.
This is kosher Pesach mustard. Might be
maybe I'll start. Get the ice name. Get the ice.
Yeah.
That's
the
question. Maybe.
I don't know. I'm assuming that you can get kosher Pesach chargal, but I couldn't pay for sure.
No,
you can't? Okay, if you can't, you can't. One thing, David Fishman wants to say something. Yes, David, please.
If you follow according to the language of the crisis, why do you need to serve the yard? Just simply have.
Don't put the kemach in.
And then continue. That's exactly what he was saying.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, Suzuki Moratanim Ahi Takaraya Charoises is Asur, and if you put in the Charoises, Bidyevet Yisrof Miyad, according to everybody, Tekhachar was already a Machlokes. Omra Machmun Mishwal Loch and Kinibi Chacham. The Loch is like the Chachamim in our Mishnah, where the Chachamim say that Yoichal Miyad. But the obvious question is going to be, is this a Chachamim the way Rav Kahana is learning? Or the way we learn Poshut Pshat in the Mishnah.
Right.
In other words, without Rav Kahana, with the Chachamim, I would go and say Yoichal Miyad, Sai the Gabi Charoisis, and Sai the Gabi Chardo. According to Rav Kahana, we're only passing the Chachamim in the lone case where there's a Machloikis. Because in the case of the Charoisis, there's no Machloikis. And I'm saying we're passing like the Chachamim. There's nobody else that argues. So that's the Gemara's Kashi now. So Nachman, Mishmuel, look at the Chachamim, fine. Omri Nachman, Yisrael, Rav Huna, Brein, Rav Yehuda. Acharois is kama mar, or yechard the kama mar. Is when you said that look in the chachamim, did you mean even on charoises? Because in fact there is a double machloikis both by charoises and chardel, like the pashup shat in the Mishnah, or is it only on the chardel like Rav Kahana lit? Amalei, why are you asking me this? Lamai nafkimina, a lit of Kahana. Oh, well, like we just said, the Yom Rav Kahana machloikis by chardel, the charoises the vechol yisar miyat. So he wanted to know how far reaching is the halachic in the chachamim. Amalei lo shmili. I heard about this Rav Kahana. When I learned the Mishnah, I said, how can you learn pshat like that? Come on. It's the same thing, the same machlokes. Come on, don't split up.
Therefore, the heter is for both.
Yeah. Om Ravashi Kavosi, what was the heter? Yeah. Om Ravashi Kavosi Rav Kahana Mistabra, the way Rav Kahana said it, Mom Mistabra, Mom Shmuel, Ein Aloch Kir Reb Yoisi. Rav Shmuel said before on the Amud Aleph, back on Memud Aleph, when we learned about trying to remedy the lesisa of the Sa'irim, when you see that it looks like it's nafuach, nafuach means that it's swelling, and it's soon going to be misbakeh, so the Yoisi Shnel put it into the choymitz that's going to go and inhibit the growth and it's going to retard it, and said, Shmuel, I respectfully disagree, Ein Aloch Kir Reb Yoisi. Ah! Since Shmuel said, "Elochir Biyosi, my love, Tzmusi, who delayed Samis, not only doesn't it cause it to shrink, Hachamui Machama, but in fact the Choymitz allows it to leaven. In other words, Mikotze Ela Kotze, and it accelerates the leavening process. And if that's the case, what do I see? That putting it in the Charoisis Yara its curtains. It's going to be terrible. And that's why it's kubosid of kana mistabra, that if you put it into the charoisis, everybody would agree that you have to go and burn it miyad, yisuf miyad, because the choymitz has the tendency and has the potency of not shrinking it, but of quickening the pace and accelerating the chimot, and therefore is a ray l'choira to Rav Kahana. After we learn Yishkarai, the limitzim is just some. It's for lechemul mechama. When Shmuel said we not paskan like Rabbi Yosi, it's not that he goes mikotzer lekotzer from one extreme to the other and say it doesn't shrink it, but it accelerates it. It doesn't shrink it, but it doesn't accelerate. It's just neutral. It's just like water, if you will. It doesn't have any special potency either to cause it to shrink or to cause it to leaven. And so therefore you have no riot to the psak of Rav Kahana. Stop over here, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Bruch HaBatzlach HaZad. Kibbutz Shem Tov. Continue tomorrow.